A new report by USA Today is raising concerns about mental health issues and their link to high-potency marijuana products. Orko O'Manna spoke to experts in one local family to find out how prevalent this problem could be.
What is the noise?
Our kid's brain was gone.
That was Robin Marie McIntosh's reaction when they spoke to their son Madison in March. The 24-year-old who lives in Phoenix was acting strange.
He's been talking gibberish. He's been telling people that he tried to commit suicide. He's been saying all sorts of weird things.
Madison's brother filmed this video that same night.
My brain. What have you instilled in me? What am I tuning out the noise?
It was like the lights on, but no one's home. It was the strangest thing to recognize somebody. You know, I know that. That's my son, but you don't recognize him.
They learned Madison was vaping multiple times a day. At the hospital, doctors diagnosed him with cannabis-induced psychosis.
What the heck is that? We never heard of that.
Over the past 4 or 5 years, I have seen plenty of patients who...
Las Vegas psychiatrist Reza Kazemi has seen firsthand the link between high-potency THC products and psychosis. A study out of Colorado found a 77% increase in suicide deaths among 10 to 19-year-olds with marijuana in their systems.
Some people are more susceptible to it versus others. There is some genetic factors that go into it. But overall, it can cause psychosis.
But Kazemi says more research needs to be done.
It is difficult to make that diagnosis because a lot of times you can't tell which came first, the psychosis or the cannabis use.
We're a redemption story. We're a lucky story.
Rob says Madison stopped vaping and is doing much better. They're sharing their story in the hopes of creating change. Orko O'Manna, 8 News Now.
Isn't it interesting? That's a report from Las Vegas. It's very sad about those parents. And you have probably already guessed that we're going to be talking today about the effect of marijuana. We're going to focus mostly, almost exclusively, on the effect on children and babies, adolescents. You just heard that story, but there's a lot more. I mean, it's just so upsetting. I can't even begin to tell you. So we're going to talk about it, let you hear about it. Marijuana is nothing to laugh at. It's not a joke. It's not something to make jokes about. There's nothing funny about what marijuana is doing to our children and to our people. You will not believe it. We'll be talking about a book today that's dedicated to discussing all of that. But first, abortion moves fast, and right now in our communities, women are being pressured to make irreversible decisions in moments of fear and panic. They're told to act quickly or risk losing support, and many feel that they have no other option. But because of you, they do. At Preborn Network Clinics, a woman receives what the abortion industry will never offer: compassion without pressure, clarity about the life growing inside her, real support to welcome her baby, and the hope of the gospel. She's given a free ultrasound and space to breathe. And more than 80% of the time when a mother sees her baby on a preborn ultrasound, she chooses life. This March, Preborn is hoping to save 6,800 babies, but it will take 124 partners saying yes every single day. And here's my ask. Pause your busy day just for a moment and become a yes right now. Just $28 provides one ultrasound. $140 helps 5 moms and their babies. But every single dollar helps save babies and share hope. To donate to Preborn, go to preborn.com/Sandy and give your most generous amount, what you can afford and what you just, you know, feel what God is saying to you about this. I know that many of you are so faithful to give and give generously. I know that, and I want to thank you. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, today, sit back because we're going to be talking about, the book is called Throwing Children Under the Cannabis, Marijuana, a Mind-Altering Drug, on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Recent studies show a significant increase in the number of kids and teens vaping marijuana, taking strong edibles, or just being high on a regular basis.
Yeah, so what a lot of people don't know is that once they become dependent, it could cause some serious emotional, developmental, and psychological problems in some of our younger populations.
Yes, well, if it were only the younger populations, but that's what we're going to concentrate on today. That was a report out of Maine, and they have their hands full on what they're seeing with marijuana. We'll get back to that later. But my guest today has just written a book that's fascinating and important. It's called Throwing Children Under the Cannabis, Marijuana, a Mind-Altering Drug. And this book is about children and adolescents and the effect on them, and you won't want to miss it. Even if your kids are not interested in marijuana or too young or past that stage, their friends are not. They've got friends and acquaintances and all of us. Truly, if you understand what's happening with marijuana or suffering, the consequences of the side effects of marijuana. Anne Schlafly is the chairman of Eagle Forum, and if her name sounds familiar, it's because her mother, Phyllis Schlafly, was the founder of Eagle Forum. Anne has carried on that tradition beautifully, by the way. As the chairman of Eagle Forum, she's written a number of great books. One is Faithfully, Phyllis in the Kitchen, which I didn't know about, Anne. The Phyllis Schlafly Cookbook. I'm going to have to get that one. And How to Speak Liberal. I have that one. And Is Our Constitution in Jeopardy? And Lessons on Leadership. And now this one, Throwing Children Under the Cannabis. And Anne Schlafly, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sandy. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You know, just reflecting on you have your own life, and now you're leading Eagle Forum and doing a great job. You know that I knew your mother well, and when I think about her legacy, I think, you know, she poured her life into a lot of things, but abortion was one of the major things, and also saving children. I remember the fights over the UN Convention on the Rights of Children and all of that nonsense, and so it's really, really fitting that you should carry that baton and talk about the scourge of our age when it comes to children, at least one of them. So I think this is a great, great endeavor.
Yes, this is about the children because marijuana is grossly affecting the children, starting in utero, because there are a lot of mothers out there who think it's okay to use marijuana while they're pregnant or nursing. And that has to stop because the effects of the marijuana on the baby in utero are life-changing and damaging forever for that baby. And then you get into the candies that the young children find, these edibles that are laced with a mind-altering drug, and that they think is candy and it's sweet and it has a flavor to it, and they ingest that and get sick on it, and then up to high school where the use of marijuana has become all too prevalent among our high school students.
Okay, let's and before we get into the content, I just want to ask you, what there's a lot of things you could write about. Was there something in your life that you saw or in where you guys live that caused you to think about you needed to write this book?
Yes. I mean, I live in Missouri, and you think of Missouri as this bright red state in flyover country, and that we don't have any of the crazies like California. Well, that isn't the case, because several years ago, Missouri passed by initiative petition a constitutional amendment that made marijuana absolutely legal for any reason across the board. And because it's a constitutional amendment, there's no regulation we can put on it. So my community has been invaded with grow farms, dispensaries, which are just a euphemism for pot shops, and they're everywhere. The billboards have catchy slogans on them. I get flyers in the mail offering me free marijuana to, you know, to start out with, because, you know, drug pushers always know to give you your first high free, and then they have a customer for life. And I think it's destroying my community. And I don't, and we have to have a social pushback on marijuana, the way that it has invaded our communities and what it's doing to, particularly what it is doing to the children in the community. I chose not to live in California, and yet California rules have come to Missouri.
And I couldn't agree with you more. And I was always the odd duck when I was younger. I'm old enough that marijuana wasn't prevalent when I was a teen yet. Alcohol was. But then when I got to college, all that changed. You know, it was the hippie era and all of that. And my friends started doing things. And I just, I have to tell you, before we start this conversation, I just cannot be objective. And sometimes I get so angry about it, I can't even do a decent interview, because I see what it's done to people that I know. I see how stupid and unmotivated they have become. Their minds dulled, all kinds of things. I can't. It repulses me. And we're living in a society where it's a cool thing to do, and it's great. You know, little candies for the kids and brownies, you know, and seniors laughing about it. And so I'm the odd man out, and I'm guessing you might be too.
Well, Sandy, it's worse than just dulling and making you stupid or a so-called happy drug or anything like that. It's worse than that. Regular use of marijuana leads to psychosis and schizophrenia. These teenagers are going to have a lifelong injury from their use of pot. And that's what hasn't been fully explained, is the mental illness that comes from using pot.
Absolutely. I do not, you know, remember... I interviewed Alex Berenson about 10 years ago when he wrote his book, which was shocking, really. That's the first time I'd heard about some of the things you've written about here on the medical effects of marijuana. But he's, of course, not a doctor. He's married to a doctor. But it was a shocking book. But I pulled some clips that I think you'll find interesting, and from a doctor named Dr. Barkin. And he sees, children and teenagers all the time, young adults. And this is what he had to say. This is clip 8.
We've noticed is this is a massive social experiment, the legalization and availability of cannabis. It hasn't been studied, but we've learned a lot in the past couple of decades. And one of the things that I'd like to share with your audience is this concept of population attributable risk, because we've spoken about how cannabis in people at risk, particularly kids at risk, can predispose to psychosis, the most devastating of which is called schizophrenia, because it often persists and doesn't go away. What's interesting is as the potency of weed has gone up over time, the number of kids who develop psychosis that progressed to schizophrenia has gone way up. And to put that in perspective, back in 1995, about 2% of cases in schizophrenia could be attributed to weed use in kids. Now, in 2021, that number is 8%. Wow. And if you think about it, the potency of weed has gone way up from about 4% then to up to 30% now.
All right, so of course that's an older clip. That's 2021, so you can imagine what the stats are now. Can you say more about this, and what... I suppose it's pretty prevalent, but when we say, I understand schizophrenia. I had a sister-in-law who had a schizophrenic break in her early 20s. I know a lot about that. Horrible, horrible, incurable, where you lose sense of reality. You have to often be on drugs the rest of your life. But psychosis, how does this manifest in children?
Well, there's no question that the potency is much higher now than it used to be. You know, this is not your grandparents' marijuana. The marijuana producers have refined the techniques on increasing the potency, so that what you're getting when you smoke the joint is you're getting a much higher high than in previous generations. And so because you're getting more of the active ingredient, the THC, that's going to have a bigger deleterious effect on your brain. And we know that the brain is very malleable under the age of 25. And what you do to your brain cells with these kinds of drugs under the age of 25 will affect the development of the brain and seriously compromise your ability to have a functioning life going forward. And so, it's akin to, you know, when you go and go to an alcohol shop, you don't buy the Everclear looking for the biggest intoxication that you can possibly get. You tend to buy beer or wine or look for flavor or style because it's a social, alcohol is a social drug. But in marijuana, what the pot shops have trained their customers to do is to go for the highest high, the most potency. And that is what they're pushing on these children, is to get immediate intoxication. And one of the problems with, just to continue the comparison with alcohol, you drink alcohol, but then it dissipates and you recover from it. But in marijuana, the THC in marijuana is fat soluble, not water soluble. So it goes into your fat in your body and slowly releases for the next several weeks afterwards. So after you take your whiff of marijuana, you're intoxicated for some time. And that's the problem that's happened, is that many of these regular habitual users of marijuana are under constant intoxication. And yes, that does lead to psychosis, particularly among the heavy users. And we're in a situation today where we have more daily users of marijuana than we do daily users of alcohol. A lot of alcohol companies have lost sales because the young people have gravitated to marijuana instead. And I would argue that marijuana is much more dangerous than alcohol.
You know, I don't have the stat in front of me, but I was reading about, you know, Colorado has had, they were one of the first states to legalize it without any barriers. By the way, I can't believe Missouri has done that too. That's shocking to me. But back to Colorado, I was reading how about the suicide rate among kids has just gone up exponentially. I don't know if, and I wish I had it in front of me, because I don't know if it's marijuana users, but incidentally, the suicide rate has really skyrocketed.
Well, Sandy, there is a pipeline from marijuana to the school shooters, the mass shooters, because so many of the mass shooters were heavy marijuana users, starting with the boys in Columbine. But there was a recent case of a mass shooter in Minnesota who wrote in his diary that was found after he died, "Gender and weed messed up my brain. Don't let your children mess around with gender or weed." And it's true, because you're in an altered state and you don't know what's going on. And what happens with regular marijuana usage is that it decreases sperm count, it decreases sexual potency, and after all, who wants to spend time with a stoner? So these boys are not able to get a date. And if you're living this lonesome life, wouldn't you then say, I guess I'll just blow myself up and everybody else?
You know, that makes sense, Anne. And I wonder, too, this just went through my head, if this is not also contributing to all the transgender mass murders, because I always think with that, of course, neither of us are doctors. We know what we read and we use good sources, but I know personally that the hormones that transgenders take, I think personally, because I knew a transgender man, he was a very good friend of mine, and I would just say he started he lost his job as an airline pilot because he started taking his anger out on his pilots, his passengers, turning the heat up, turning it down, flying erratically, and he was on hormones. Okay, so I've always blamed it on hormones, but I wonder if marijuana isn't a factor in all of that too.
Well, you are in an altered state of reality. You are not living in the same world we are when you are intoxicated.
Oh, that's for sure. And, you know, you wrote in your, I loved your introduction. I wish I could just read the whole thing on the air, but you say that thousands of years ago, the Chinese warned that marijuana would make you see dragons. Interesting that marijuana goes back that far. Chinese culture is so old, and that they knew about marijuana back then. I thought that was fascinating.
Well, marijuana has been known for thousands of years, but it has never been so readily available and consumed on such a mass basis as today. I mean, you know, we should learn from history because, you know, there are things that cultures have learned to live with and accommodate and make rules about, and there are things that cultures have banned and forbidden because they realize the how deleterious they are. And marijuana has never been used by any civilization the way it is used today.
It's just, I don't know, it's just gut-punching. But let's go on. Let's get more detailed. You mentioned at least more broad topics. You mentioned right up front about pregnant mothers and marijuana. Let's go into that a little bit more because I have never discussed that. I've never ever stopped to think about that. What's going on with pregnant women and marijuana and their babies?
Well, if you are pregnant and use marijuana, your baby will have a smaller brain, a smaller circumference of the head. Your newborn will have to spend weeks in the NICU unit getting weaning off of the marijuana, and your newborn will have a lifetime injury from this. And I think, you know, people are very well knowledgeable about the problems of smoking tobacco or drinking while pregnant. But I don't think enough talk has been given about the problems of using marijuana while pregnant, and the effects on the baby. Because I, you know, back again to my you know, formerly red community, my local radio station a couple of months ago had an interview with a local group of moms who were touting the benefits of moms using marijuana on to gain relaxation. Now, they would never have such a show about tobacco or alcohol, yet they think it's okay for marijuana. So we have to have a social pushback to explain these dangers so that people and remove the veneer of social acceptability of using this dangerous drug.
Yeah, I want to add something else that you included in your first chapter on drug-free babies, because it's just another little twist on this. And this is a quote by Dr. Kenneth Finn of Colorado, about which, you know, I'm sure he's seeing this constantly, given Colorado's adaptation and use of marijuana. He said, cannabis used during pregnancy and lactation has been shown to cause serious behavioral changes in the offspring, which persist into adolescence. It is not advisable to use during pregnancy or lactation due to the potential harm to the developing brain, which is consistent with the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology and the American Academy of Pediatrics advice. I mean, that's pretty amazing right there. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm going to quote back to you your own words because this really struck me. You said in your introduction, marijuana is an extremely dangerous drug because so many Americans believe it is not dangerous. That's very profound, Anne.
And that's why I'm on this campaign to alert people to the problems because, you know, you have this problem right now that you bring up the subject of marijuana and people just start giggling.
Exactly.
This is not a giggle. This is serious business of what it's doing to our next generation.
And we're not talking about.
Yeah, and I think that I have some stat where, you know, 25% of high schoolers have used marijuana in the last year.
Man, and we, as though we don't have enough problems, you know. And I think of, we don't have to go down this rabbit trail, but I think of the, you know, influence of China in the COVID problem that we had, which has done so much damage, I think, in terms of the results of that right now. I think we're seeing still with the vaccine and all that complication, the many cancers, people that are not old dying early. It's really sad to me. And it just seems like you wonder, you know, who's behind, besides the money push, who's behind getting this into our society? It seems like it could possibly be another way of just weakening us as a nation. It sure seems like it.
Well, marijuana is illegal in the People's Republic of China, but that has not stopped Chinese businessmen from coming to the United States and starting and producing marijuana farms in order to, I think, undermine the United States. So, yes, I do believe that marijuana is a national security issue. And, you know, the communist Chinese will do any avenue to defeat the United States. And we know they like to use drugs to defeat the United States.
I want to go into some of the specifics again, since you've written about them and we're trying to warn people. You talk about this candy is dandy, but pot liquor is quicker. I don't know what pot liquor is. You'll have to tell me.
Well, that's kind of a joke. You know, there's an old line of candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker. That's kind of a jokey line.
Okay, I missed that.
So I'm trying to make a pun by talking about pot liquor because it's, you know, licking the pot, which is, you know, candy is when you take, you know, these drugs are unpleasant to take when you first taste them. They're bitter. And so you have to sweeten them up and lace them with a nice flavor. And so the flavors that they've put on to marijuana to make it more accessible to teenage taste buds, it's really shocking because it's not legal to do that to tobacco, yet it's legal to make marijuana sweeter.
Isn't that something? And it's a joke. Like, I remember the first time I remember that concept was back with the brownies. This wasn't kids. Mm-hmm. This was adults. And these movies where they laugh about, I mean, I think that's when I really, I don't know that it's definitive, but it was another moment where I was just really horrified by what I was seeing in the movies, as especially they would choose senior citizens. And they would have, you know, these women, older women who are famous stars would be, you know, getting together in a closet and giggling and taking marijuana. And this was kind of became a storyline through a lot of movies. And it's really interesting.
But Hollywood has long known that if you want to change the culture, you have to sugarcoat it with a sweet Hollywood movie where everybody's having a good time. And that's what they did. And they made this push to legalize marijuana through a great deal of movies. I mean, the movie wasn't per se about marijuana, but somehow they would insert a scene where everybody was using it and having a good time in order to promote the idea that it is a happy drug. But marijuana produces more anxiety than it does happiness.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, truly, even me, people portrayed on marijuana are always so laughing and they're sitting around, you know, telling stories and just relaxing. Oh, man, this is great. So you're saying that's not the, does it cause anxiety in that moment or does it come later?
Well, remember that marijuana is, it stays in your body. You don't get rid of it as quickly as you do alcohol. You have this lingering intoxication in your body so that you're under this sedation. And the anxiety comes as your body craves more.
I see. Oh, so, you know, that's one of the things that Alex Berenson points he made, I remember, years ago. They said it wasn't, marijuana was not addictive. And he said it absolutely is addictive. And he made the case about it being, a gateway drug. But it is addictive, isn't it? I don't know if you talk about that in your book, Anne, but it is.
Well, you know, you know, the marijuana proponents say it's not a gateway drug. There are people, you know, lots of people just use marijuana. And I'll say, yeah, and just using marijuana is a problem. It doesn't matter if it doesn't lead to other drugs. It's still going to cause problems in your body if you are a habitual user. And the addiction, the challenge is that a good percentage of marijuana users are regular heavy users. And that's where you see the cannabis use disorder, which is how they define the addiction. And it's 30% of marijuana users fit the description of cannabis use disorder, which means they can't stop using marijuana.
I can understand that. I mean, that's just the general part of human nature, that if you take something or have something that brings you peace, even in the moment, or pleasure like chocolate or alcohol or whatever, or sex or whatever people, you know, get pleasure from, it's by our nature, our weaknesses, that human beings get addicted and drawn to it. And it's harder for a lot of people to stop. So it's just human nature.
And Sandy, what happens is, you know, the dopamine gets released in the brain and you have this momentary happy feeling. But in order to get the same amount of dopamine, your tolerance increases. So okay. You have to increase your usage of what's giving you this dopamine effect in your brain. And that's why when you see people who have, to talk about some other things that I believe that are addiction that we don't normally think of as addiction, like pornography and gambling, it's because they're looking for to increase that dopamine release in their brain, and they have to do more than they did last time in order to get the same effect.
Yeah, I'll never forget Dr. Dobson doing a series of interviews with that mass murderer from the Northwest, whose name mm-hmm. escapes me, but he killed women all over the country. Mm-hmm. Good-looking guy. He was not a murderer. He had a good job, at least initially.
Well, he was a murderer. He was a mass murderer.
Well, yes, but and before he got into pornography, he'd not, as far as we know, he was a relatively normal person. But it was pornography that drew him into finally murdering someone. And then the more he looked at pornography, the worse, most degrading pornography is what he needed to get the high that he was looking for. And Dr. Mm-hmm. Dobson examined all of that. I'll never forget that. And so this is what's happening with marijuana. That does make a great deal of sense. You know, there's one other...
you build up tolerance, just as alcoholics build up tolerance.
You know, one, you alluded to this, but this is back to children. You know how parents always have, my son is an honor student at blah, 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 blah. And I've actually been concerned in a different way in the many years that I've done what I'm doing, is that parents are so prideful and concerned about the academic achievements of their kids, they forget about their character. So that's always, I've always felt that way. So along with that, here is another clip from Dr. Jeff Barkin from Maine about another thing that happens to kids who are, you know, taking, I don't know how to quantify this, but let's just say are exposed to marijuana and using it. This is clip 9.
The concerns that I have are in kids and adolescents, really people under the age of 25, where the brain is not fully developed. I'm less concerned, though there are concerns, about use in older populations for legitimate medical reasons. But the concern that I have in kids and adolescents is there really is, in heavy users, an 8-point average decline in IQ and a real increase in the risk of schizophrenia and the development of other psychosis, as well as a risk of going on and using more potent and dangerous drugs.
IQ. Parents, are you listening? Those of you especially that the kids' performance in school and their smartness is the thing that you're most concerned about. This is a reason alone to reach out. It's an alarm bell that if you want your children to continue to excel academically, this is not the way to go. It's not funny letting them use marijuana or allowing it or looking the other way. And memory, it affects memory and all of that.
That the doctor said, pardon? If I may.
Sure.
He said he wasn't concerned about old people using marijuana, but I am. Because
I am too.
The drug profiteers have realized
that that is a great category for them to make easy money by pushing marijuana to dementia patients. Now, we know that marijuana causes memory loss. So I don't know why you want more memory loss in dementia patients, but they're pushing it as, you know, as a happy drug, anti-anxiety, you know, give it to the old patients who, you know, because it'll make them feel better. But all it does is to make their situation worse, and the drug companies, the marijuana producers get more money.
Uh-huh. Yes, they sure do. And we'll talk about the money in just a second, but one of the things, of course, that's made marijuana more acceptable and is the fact that we were told how many medicinal purposes it has, how great, and they're discovering every moment, it seems, how great marijuana is to treat this or that. Now, I'm not here to say...
It's young science.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying, because I don't know enough, to say that marijuana is not useful in some treatments. But what's going on there? I mean, is it medicine or not?
Marijuana is not medicine. Well, first of all, no drug can be smoked and considered medicine. You cannot take medicine by smoking. There's too much harm that happens to your lungs.
Wow, so that's interesting.
Yeah, because you're going to put in other things in your lungs, and you will get lung problems if you smoke anything, because it's not good for your lungs. So the idea that a joint can be medicine is false. But the other problems with marijuana as medicine is, you know, there have been countless studies on marijuana, and the efficacy for pain relief has never been shown. Because marijuana is legal in so many states now, there's no motivation for the marijuana companies to do what's required of all other drugs, which is double-blind tests to ensure the efficacy of the drug. And if you think of other pharmaceuticals that are doctor prescribed, what's always important is the dosage amount. And there is no drug where you, the consumer, choose your own dosage. But that's what's done with so-called medical marijuana, is that you dose yourself. Well, any drug that you take too much of will cause bad effects that will outweigh the good effects.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Now,
other problems about medical marijuana is that there is a loophole for teenagers to get it. So you're supposed to, the states that have legalized recreational marijuana say, oh, well, nobody under the age of 21. Well, the loophole is that 18-year-olds can get medical marijuana. So that just opens the door for teens on marijuana. Because there's no limitation on medical marijuana in the states that have allowed it.
Are there 40 states that have legalized marijuana in some form?
Yes.
I just read or heard that Tennessee is on the brink of it. I think Indiana, too, unless those reports were older. I think that they're pretty current, though. I can't even believe, honestly, and that 20 don't. Somewhere around 20 don't. I'm surprised about that, to be honest with you. But... one thing now, let's do talk about the money, because I can certainly, this is really dreadful. It reminds me of when gambling was a huge issue, and it was in Chicago when I first started on the radio. Now they've just given up, but it was beginning. We were talking about casino gambling and all of that. So I became an expert overnight on gambling. But the one thing I remember is the campaign was always that the gambling money was going to pay for, in Illinois, was education. Just think of if all this money coming in can pay for education. Well, listen to this story. This is out of Tennessee. It's clip 3.
It's back. Once again, state lawmakers are working to make marijuana legal here in our state of Tennessee. You may recall that last year this legislation failed in the previous session, but Pot for Potholes is back. The goal here would be to make marijuana legal and then tax it 15% and use the sales tax revenue to then pay for road improvement and other infrastructure projects. And advocates of passing this point to the fact that we have a $58 billion backlog in road projects here in the state of Tennessee. Of course, you know that we are a pay-as-you-go state. We cannot take on any debt in order to pay for our infrastructure improvements. So they say this could help. And they point to another state with a similar size and population, Massachusetts, which brought in $285 million in tax revenue from marijuana last year alone. And this is all ahead of Wednesday, which will be Cannabis Day on the Hill. And that is when advocates and farmers will be there lobbying lawmakers to pass, again, the Pot for Potholes Act. Right now, Tennessee is one of just 10 states in the U.S. with either no medical marijuana that's legal and also no recreational marijuana legal.
Isn't that clever? Pot for potholes, Anne. I mean, that's a great idea. And we're going to pay for all the roads with this when we legalize it. Doesn't that sound good?
It's such a false idea to use this line of legalize it and tax it. And what's wrong with that is that, first of all, when you legalize it, it makes the illegal has a veneer of legality, and the illegal is always cheaper than the legal. So Tennessee is not going to get their expected tax revenues because people will flock to the cheaper marijuana that will be more readily available because the legal is so tolerated. Second of all, sin taxes by their nature do not pay for themselves, because what you produce in addicts is going to cost social services more in the end than any revenue that you gain. And we should not be financing our government with the hope that we have more addicted people.
No, that's a fact. I found that with gambling, too. And I have to add, has anybody paid attention to what's going on in Illinois for the last 20 years? I've been gone for so long, but of course, it's my home state. God, they still have problems with their schools and funding them. It's amazing. They don't have enough tax revenue, and that gambling just continues to, you know, crank out millions and millions of dollars every single year, but they still, you know, have trouble. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Well, I think the Illinois education system has problems because they're not teaching the basics, and they're teaching too much stuff that isn't going to help you in your life.
No, well, that's true. But the point for us in this discussion is that the promise was that this gambling money would take the edge, it would pay for better schools. And that's, it just was a lie, just as pot for potholes is going to be a lie as well. Mm-hmm.
Because the government has to spend so much to take care of the addicts.
Exactly. You know, I don't know if you, I don't want to throw this at you if you haven't, I don't know if you've done this, but Colorado has some pretty good studies now on, after having legalized marijuana almost ridiculously, and then they had all kinds of pot smoking, street hanging out on the street people move into Colorado, and now, of course, I'm giving a broad sweep because I don't have the stats in front of me, but car accidents are at an all-time high. And problems in businesses. I can't even quote, but there are now studies about this. We can see what's happened from people being addicted to marijuana.
Well, the driving intoxicated is a big problem. You see, alcohol, you can have a roadside test. You can do a breathalyzer and have an easy test to figure out how intoxicated the driver is. There's no way to test that in the marijuana. And so the only test that you can do is on the dead body when there's a big accident. And there have been increase in accidents and increase of drivers driving high. And that is a problem.
Absolutely. And it's a problem we all face. And one thing, another category you have here. Now, there are problems. Like when you think of, and this is not children, so I don't know if you want to, I'm kind of spread, expanding here a little bit, maybe too much, I don't know. But when you think about people, heavy machinery, factory work, my husband used to work in the steel mills in Northwest Indiana when he was a college student and a high school student, trying to handle that stuff. It's a problem at work, isn't it?
Yes. Well,
Anytime you try to operate heavy machinery under the influence, the risk of injury increases.
Yeah. Well, so when we talk about money, though, I hinted at it being, you know, a carrot and stick thing. Yes, but there are big money forces. You mentioned China. Are there other money sources you want to refer to that are pushing this that we should know about?
Well, you know, one of the reasons why marijuana got legalized in so many places was a so-called equity issue. And the idea that that Black Americans were disproportionately affected by drug laws, and that we needed to put Black Americans to the head of the line in owning marijuana companies so that they could get a piece of the pie on it. You know, the argument is so false because, you know, marijuana destroyed communities, yet they think that legalizing it is going to help the communities do better. So just like any other minority set aside, unscrupulous people would get front men for their company, pretending that it was a minority owned company, but other people would get the money for it. And this happens again and again when government tries to say, okay, we're going to tell you how to run your business, and it'll be better and more equal because of the way that we're telling you how to run it. Well, unscrupulous people take advantage and make a lot of money off of it. That's always what happens.
Yes. Well, I think my understanding is marijuana has become such big business. Whether you mentioned the farms and the shops everywhere, it's just becoming a money making thing. And it is bringing in a lot of money, but as you pointed out so well, the costs of it to human life, what price can you pay on your child becoming schizophrenic or psychotic or having a low IQ? I mean, really and truly, are you kidding me?
And so, even worse, you know, then blowing up and having a school shooting because of the
absolutely.
Addiction to marijuana.
Absolutely. All right, well, this sounds shallow, but it isn't shallow to me. It drives me crazy, Anne, as I'm sure it does many others. We travel a lot, and you pull up next to a car, they even drive past you, and you can smell marijuana. It lingers in your car after they've driven away. And you can smell it in stores, you can smell it in events, mm-hmm. and it's an odor that it isn't like pipe smoking. It doesn't go away as quickly as that, does it? Just lingers. It gets in your clothes and your nostrils.
It's a skunk.
Yeah, so it is a skunk. Is it a skunk?
You know how the skunk smell lingers.
Yes.
It's a similar smell.
Yes, yes. Well,
And one of the problems, so interesting, you know, the form of legal marijuana that California has allows local municipalities to do a tremendous amount of regulation on marijuana companies. And it's amazing. It's something like 80% of California communities have very strict regulations on the marijuana businesses that operate in their communities. But because Missouri did marijuana as a constitutional amendment, we're really limited on the regulations that local communities can do. So I have my community has been infiltrated with the grow cultivation of marijuana with these enormous facilities that are growing marijuana, and the smell is everywhere.
I think everybody listening to me can relate to that. I think there'd be very few that hasn't had that experience. Maybe they didn't know what it was, but they'll be alert to it now. In our final moments here, Ann, you have a conclusion about how to stop this. And I think people really want to know what your suggestions are about how to put a stop to legalized marijuana.
Well, you know, first we need a public relations campaign because, you know, people have this perception that it's okay. And so you have to have the strength to stand up and say, no, it's not okay. So the first thing that everybody can do is not to tolerate pot, not to tolerate it in your home, not to tolerate it among your friends, not to tolerate it with your children or your children's friends, that you are a no-go zone on marijuana, period. And that then opens the door. Well, you know, why, Mom? Well, you know, here are the reasons why. Because it's going to destroy your life. And the more people talk about the dangers, the greater the chance to change the perception. You know, it took many years for people to change the idea of tobacco as being a medicine, because when tobacco first came out, it was marketed as medicine. And then it just had to take several generations before people saw it as a cancer stick. And so this is a long-term project, because the project to make marijuana legal was also a long-term project.
Oh, that makes perfect sense, Anne. Perfect sense. And so it just kind of has to start with each of us. Well, the book is called Throwing Children Under the Cannabis, Marijuana, a Mind-Altering Drug. And Anne, I believe, as I understand it, people can order it from eagleforum.org/books, eagleforum.org/books. Is there another way to get it? Is there anything else?
No, we were selling it through Eagle Forum, and we'd love to have you come onto our website and see all the other issues that we're involved in. Because you know, marijuana is not our only issue. We believe in saving America across the board, whether it's babies, education, or national security.
Absolutely, boy. Yes, I'm glad you said that. Your mother, of course, made her bones. I think in the whole nuclear disarmament. She got her law degree at Harvard, I think, and she was probably one of the only women at that school.
Well, she actually, she got her master's at Harvard, but her law degree actually came from Washington University. But, you know, what was amazing is that she went to law school when she was in her 50s.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I'm slow, but I remember that now. Yeah, so, and then, but I'm saying, remember, I know you know this better than I do. As I recall, the first thing she really started writing about was nuclear disarmament, something to do with nuclear weapons. She wasn't a little housewife writing about, you know, little housewife things. I mean, she was a brilliant mind. And so Eagle Forum has continued to be an intellectual group of women who talk about a lot of issues that are not just family and home, although they do that, but also issues of the world. I see that. I work with Chris, your girl in D.C. a lot, Anne, and she does a wonderful
Chris
job.
Allman.
Chris Allman, yes. So thank you for that. And Anne, thanks for carrying the baton for your mom. You've done it. You're doing a great job.
It is such a pleasure. I mean, these are important issues. And one of the things that my mother did is that she motivated women to get up, get out, and speak their minds.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. I mean, she inspired me. I'll tell you that. She was a big part of my activism. I learned a lot from your mother, and I'll never forget that. Besides, I loved her as a person. But Anne Schlafly, chairman of Eagle Forum. Remember, the book is called Throwing Your Children Under the Cannabis. You can get it at eagleforum.org/books. eagleforum.org/books. Anne Schlafly, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you.
It's a pleasure, Sandy.
All right. Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I couldn't believe it. Just a few days ago, we got an email from a listener who we've known, Bruce and I have actually known for a long time, because we see them at AFA retreats. They've been longtime supporters of AFA. And they wrote to tell us that they had decided to move their support of their own crisis pregnancy, and I'm not suggesting this to any of you, I'm just telling you this is how dramatic it was with them, that they moved their support from crisis pregnancy to preborn, from listening to the description of all the things that they do to try to reach a woman spiritually, as well as, you know, try to save the baby. And they actually have given enough money to buy an ultrasound machine. And I can't tell you how moving that was to me, and is. Just moving. And so as preborn celebrates 20 years of saving babies, there's a moment right now that can save countless lives for years to come. An ultrasound machine doesn't just show a picture. It introduces a mother to her child. And many clinics don't have one, nor can they afford one. Preborn's goal is simple and urgent. Place an ultrasound machine in every clinic across America that needs one. if you have the means, would you consider a tax-deductible gift of $15,000 to save countless babies' lives and countless moms' spiritual lives? Would you do that? Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And, of course, if you can't afford that, $28 pays for one ultrasound for one woman to see one little baby, or maybe two, or maybe three now. You never know. But go to preborn.com/Sandy and do what you can do, okay?
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Marijuana contains many, many chemicals, and the one of interest for people getting stoned is THC, tetrahydrocannabinol. And what that drug does is it's a powerful messenger between brain cells in the brain. And when you're flooding the brain with large quantities of THC, it modifies the neural networks. It makes for changes in how those brain cells learn to talk with each other, and that's why you have impairments in memory, the ability to measure time and space. That impacts developing brains, because when we're 25 and younger, what we know is the frontal lobes, the part of the brain that mediate thinking and planning, develop. And anything that interferes with that development is a real risk, particularly for kids that are vulnerable. Who's vulnerable? Kids who have family histories of schizophrenia. Kids who themselves may have early symptoms of psychosis, like social withdrawal, or doing poorly in school, isolating from peers, kind of acting weird, isolating, smoking more and more pot.
All right, that's Dr. Jeff Barkin. We played him a lot today because I thought some of the things he said were just remarkable. And certainly he knows whereof he speaks, but there are a lot of doctors online, if you want to find more, that treat patients, and they will tell you exactly what they're seeing in emergency rooms, the danger of it. And you heard what Anne Schlafly just shared with us. She is suggesting, and I am too, that your home be a no marijuana zone, no-go zone for marijuana. No-go zone. No, we don't tolerate it. It's not funny. My friends, my adult friends are not going to use it here. My children are not going to use it here. Their friends are not going to use it here. It is a no-go zone for marijuana. I think she's right. We have to start being verbal about it. Say something. Do something, as we often say here, to change the mindset of people who feel like it's just so funny. Oh, laughter and goodness, the use of marijuana. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And I hope we've made that very clear to you today. The book, again, is Throwing Children Under the Cannabis, Marijuana, a Mind-Altering Drug. I hope you've benefited from this for your kids, your grandkids. Order the book. It's actually very small. The book is not that long, and it's readable and pass-alongable. So I suggest that you go to eagleforum.org/books. And do exactly that. Get it for your sake. You know, underline things so you can commit it to a little bit of memory. Share it with people. Share it with your teens, parents, with your daughter. Your may have daughters and sons who are doing marijuana and having children. They need to know this. Don't you think they need to know this? I think you think that. I think you do. So let's see if we can't do something about it. And let me just say, last but not least, of course, Preborn is our sponsor. If you would like to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. Another way to help babies is to save their lives. And if we save their lives, then we certainly don't want their mothers to be on marijuana to destroy their lives in other ways. But preborn.com/Sandy, preborn.com/Sandy. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.